Hare Krishna. Here we are, 8 a.m. on the 10th, still in a cloudy, rainy Paris. I didn't go to the preaching center this morning as I wasn't feeling well as a consequence of my last 2 days. Very bad headache. Sometimes I get nausea and sort of serious stomach disturbance as a consequence. Anyway, that's for the body. Otherwise, things are going nicely. Today, I'd like to answer some of the many questions that I've received. Manuram Prabhu has forwarded some of your questions and a few things. One is because I have to read out the questions, if you can make them short and concise. And the other is just ask one question at a time. Some devotees will notice that I'm only going to answer one of the questions that they send in. That's because they ask multiple questions, and if I address them all, then I won't be able to get to other devotees' questions. So if I didn't answer something which is very important to you, then maybe you can just send it in as a singular question the next time. This one is from Bhakta Paul in London, and he says, I have a question in regards to following Ekadasi. While it is understood that we have to abstain from grains and beans, it is not clear whether vegetables such as tomatoes, beans, okra, cauliflower, etc. are meant to be abstained from or taken on this day. At times I found that the best course of action on this day is complete fast and dedication to read Srila Prabhupada's books and chanting. However, is there any scriptural reference in this regard of fasting of the bi-monthly Ekadasi, or maybe quotes from His Divine Grace in regards of this matter? My doubt is due to having read a book called The Glories of Ekadasi and the guidelines in regards of foods that are allowed and vegetables that are restricted. However, I did not notice that such vegetables are cooked in many temples on these auspicious days. I'd appreciate if you could clarify this point for the benefit of the whole community of devotees. He said, however, I did notice that such vegetables are cooked. All right, Bhakta Paul and devotees in general, one very valuable rule of thumb is that if Srila Prabhupada, and this is sort of a paraphrasing of Jai Dvaita Maharaj, if Srila Prabhupada didn't write it or didn't say it, then don't trust it. And, of course, that should also be taken with a grain of salt. As Srila Prabhupada indicated that we should do things, although he did not give details for them. However, Srila Prabhupada did tell us how to follow Ekadasi. And he told us to fast from beans and grains. And that's fine, and that's enough. There are scriptural references on full fasting, dry fasting. One is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu giving instruction on the very subject in Prema Vivarta, in which he says the devotees should dry fast, stay up all night, chant Hare Krishna, and not even eat Jagannath Mahaprasadam on Ekadasi day, but offer it respect, and then taste it on the following day. But our business, and this is another very important point, is to accept scriptural injunctions, Vaishnava tradition, as Srila Prabhupada hands them down to us. There is sometimes a tendency for devotees to go directly to Vedic injunctions, Vaishnava etiquette, and directly interpret things that Srila Prabhupada had already personally commented on, which more or less diminishes Srila Prabhupada's instructions and Srila Prabhupada's authority. So if devotees just refrain from grains and beans, that's enough. If they want to fast completely, then they may do that, but they should recognize that that doesn't make them better. It's an optional alternative. And devotees who don't perform such more severe activities are not second-class citizens, but rather they're following Srila Prabhupada. The main thing should be is what is best for our service. If full fast interferes with our service, don't do it. If it doesn't, and you feel inclined to it, then that's fine. Otherwise, do what Srila Prabhupada said. And that was from Bhakta Paul. And the next one is from Chaitanya Charan, Devi Dasi down in Devon, also in the UK. And she says, we see and read continually examples of exemplary behavior on the part of elevated souls, demigods, and Krishna himself. These take place for many reasons, I know. And we are told countless times in the Shastra that we should not imitate the behavior and demeanor of the same. And as many times in Shastra advised to follow in the footsteps of such great souls. So, then how do we differentiate between these two? When does following by example become imitation? Following in the footsteps should be understood to be following the instructions of elevated personalities. And when their behavior is in line with their instructions, then we should follow that behavior. And sometimes when they perform extraordinary things, as I referred to Lord Krishna's behavior or Lord Shiva's behavior yesterday, or Shukadeva Goswami as the speaker of the Bhagavatam, and yet he is an avadhuta and wears no clothes. So then that type of behavior we should not follow. The topic of imitation is a very interesting one, and I address it in Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, the upcoming Krishna and Vrindavan book. But imitation really means that we either follow instructions or follow an example that is beyond our qualification, and then actually even below our qualification. Very, very interesting point discussed by Lord Krishna in the 11th canto, Sri Sri Adhikaraya Nishta. People should know what the level of spiritual advancement is, and then what type of knowledge, what type of sadhana, what type of behavior and activities or work is suited to them. And when they do, then they can actually properly follow in the footsteps. A very young devotee shouldn't try to follow the practices and activities of a very advanced devotee. There are different instructions for advanced devotees than there are for neophyte devotees. On the other hand, a neophyte devotee also should not adopt or take up the practices of a neophyte devotee. These are called Niyamagraha and Niyamaagraha, respectively. There's a lot to be said on this subject, but basically that's what imitation means. Following an instruction and following an example that is beyond your qualification or beyond your ability to do so. And it's the basic principle of education. Children who are 7 years old, 8 years old, are taught arithmetic of a certain degree of development. They're not taught advanced mathematics or calculus or quantum mechanics because they don't have the ability to understand. But when someone becomes equipped with all the preliminary stages of arithmetic and mathematics and geometry, then they can understand higher mathematics. So this means imitation. And I hope that part is clear as I switch to the last question here, which is from Tarun Krishna, Sankirtan leader of Soho Street. Tarun says, I have heard that currently the soul is in seed state. How can this be if the soul is unchangeable? Please, can you describe the condition of the soul? Yes, the soul doesn't change its inherent nature. It is spiritual. However, its qualities may become stunted in the same way that the qualities of a tree are latent within a seed. In the same way, the qualities and form of the soul are latent in a seed form, which has been stunted into that condition by the influence of the material energy, the surrounding coverings of the material energy, which we call the false ego or the false identity. As the living entity becomes purified, then the process of chanting and hearing begins to water the seed of the soul, which grows and begins to manifest its natural condition. So therefore it isn't changed, it isn't that it becomes something else, but it just manifests what is already lying there dormant. Srila Prabhupada uses that phrase, dormant in seed. I hope that answers these questions for devotees. And today we're supposed to be going to do Harinam at the Bastille. Yesterday we were unable to do so because it was raining so much, although Chaitanya Chandra and Shamlal and Siddhamuni went out and stood underneath a bridge here not far away and did Harinam. Despite the fact that they don't speak a word of French, they still managed to distribute about 15 books while they were out there. And someone asked about the French preaching. I'll refer to that a little more tomorrow, but tomorrow's our last full day here in Paris, and then Friday morning, which is Nisshinga Chaturdasi, we fly back to Budapest, and then from there to New Rajadam to see Radha Shyama Sundar. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.